Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/across America.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, this Friday we'll be at RJ Duke's out there in McKinney. Looking forward to that. Last time we were there, that place was so packed.
I missed last time. I can't remember where I was at. I didn't go last time.
Wow, yeah. You weren't there and it was packed like that.
Maybe it's because I wasn't there.
No, it wasn't because you weren't there. It was, I know one time I left a little early from it because I had to go do some pick up a Carter. But man, that the place gets packed, and there are a lot of Tolos and Twolos that make their way over to see us. Some people bring food. I'm not asking for food, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
I like the food.
It is nice when people stop by and say hi. But what's really fun too is seeing like people bringing their kids in, and their kids want to show us a Pokemon card or something like that. And that's always fun because Carter's still into it. My Carter, not you, Carter. Still into Pokemon and all that stuff. So it's always fun. But then, you know, we will probably likely crack some packs.
I think they're over $1,000 worth of stuff we're going to open up, which will eventually be given away by RJ Dukes. They have great deals right now. So if you're looking for boxes and stuff like that, I do know that they have some that are discounted, obviously below what, you know, the retail value, you know, if you went to, let's say, Target right now or something, because I remember buying like Optic and Prism basketball during, I want to say we were there around Black Friday time, the last time I was able to go. You guys have been there one other time since then, but it is really fun, and it's a bunch of good guys running that shop that are going to take care of you. I got to remember, one of the people there is a huge Gary Carter fan, and before Gary Carter passed away, he was one of my coaches, and he signed like a Norfolk Tides bobblehead for me.
Okay, nice.
I just got to find it.
And I think that's huge too. What Mike just said is really good people work in there. They take good care of you. And I think that's supremely important whenever you're dealing with people in this business.
Yeah.
All right.
Believe me.
So we will be there on Friday. We will be looking forward to seeing all you out there in McKinney, and just stop by and say hello. Now, I saw this yesterday, and it did have the official power rankings for MLB going into the season from CBS Sports. But they had another part of the conversation that I wanted to dive into, and that is the biggest rivalries in Major League Baseball for 2024. Now, Mike, I have the top five, so I can go start at five and go to one, or we can just dive in right immediately on where we think the Rangers are in this.
I would assume after last year's playoffs and them both tying, with what Alex Bregman said after they won the division that Sunday afternoon, and then after what Corey Seager said on November 3rd or 2nd or whatever date it was after winning the World Series on that stage, that the Astros and the Rangers have to be pretty high on this list, and they play each other 7 times in like the first 14 games of the season for both teams.
I think that's going to come up again on the, not today's show, but that'll definitely come up again very soon. Number one on CBSSports.com's biggest rivalries for Major League Baseball in 2024. The Astros came out of the AL in 2017, 19, 21, and 22. They won the World Series twice in that time frame, once legally. The other time they won by cheating. The Rangers have come out of last season winning their first ever World Series title. That alone would put them in a pretty intriguing, like that by itself is pretty intriguing. As somebody texted in the 806, for the first time ever, the Rangers and Astros are real contenders and they have bad blood. I can't wait. The silver boot means even more now. I agree. Like, just the simple fact that a competitive team versus another competitive team goes there. Now, the Astros owned the regular season last year. They went 9-4 with a plus 19 run differential. And Mike, I think that plus 19 all came in one game where we all watched home run after home run go out of the ballpark. And we were like, was it Nate Eovaldi that struggled in that game, in one of those games too? It was one of his like rehab games, I believe.
Yeah, and Max Scherzer versus Verlander didn't work out our way.
They ended up knotted at 90-72, head-to-head record, put the in favor of the Astros. And then the Rangers end up having the moments, man. Game five, Adolis Garcia, home run. Garcia hit by a pitch. Bench is clear, only to see Altuve hit a three-run shot to turn the series on its head. And then game six, Adolis Garcia booed all night in Houston, went 0-for-4, four strikeouts, and then hit a grand slam in his last at bat. And then there was the big deal about the Rangers popping champagne last year. And then there was, as you said, Mike, the Corey Seager moment when he hops up on the stage to do the line. Now, as we've learned, I do believe there was some pot stirring by one of the players on the team that told Seager, because Seager doesn't love to do interviews. He doesn't love to do speaking right. stuff. But one of the players was like, hey, if you want to get off that stage really quickly, you could just say this. And he was like, all right. So he goes up there, massive cheer from everybody. Everybody goes nuts. And now these two teams get to pair up. They first face off April 5th, as Mike was pointing out, in Arlington. The following weekend, the rivalry heads to Houston. So this is interesting to me because it feels like my entire life, it's been Yankees-Red Sox as the rivalry.
I get it.
And the Rangers were never involved in that conversation because even when they went to their World Series, the Yankees were the rival. You had to beat the Yankees to get what you wanted. And now the Astros have kind of taken on that persona of they are the team that they're like San Francisco. You got to beat them. If you want to do it, that's the team you got to deal with to get there. But the Rangers did it. And so now I'm kind of curious because somebody just asked this, Mike. Now I'm asking, is this really going to be this spicy of a season between this team? Because from the 817, who plunks who first?
It's Houston's turn.
It's Houston's
to
turn.
To plunk us.
Okay. And that's how it works. That's really how it works. So So Bochy knows in Arlington, the weekend of April 5th, somebody. Now,
is Chaz McCormick got hit by Aroldis Chapman to end the series?
And Chapman's not even here anymore.
Right. But Chaz is still there, and it still was the Rangers.
And it's still
and
the
they
blood.
Took the title away. Hopefully, in a way, I think we hope it doesn't pass, that we do see real physical wanting to fight each other. But I do think it's going to be very good baseball. Both teams are high-powered offensive teams. But I can see where Houston's like, we're not letting this go. We're going to...
It's a different manager too, though. Like, that's another thing. I do wonder because Dusty Baker has, if he was still there, he would have to carry it over. I do wonder if the other manager's like, nope, clean slate. I'm moving on from that. But he was there too.
Yeah.
He was with the club, so there's probably a high probability he doesn't take that away.
It's going to be very interesting, and there's just – I know you don't play each other as much anymore. So the tough thing is after playing Houston so much early on in the year, there's going to be a major lull of playing them again. But I love that it's scheduled quickly for the entertainment purposes.
Is what you're talking about whenever you're like, now it's their turn. Is that for the team or is it for us?
No, it's for protecting your guys.
Okay.
Like if you thought like
so this isn't a show.
I know the
for
game
us.
Has changed and maybe Houston will not. I think they will. But we know you got one of our guys. You kicked our butt. Fine, you kicked our butt. At the end, and look, the Rangers felt deservedly so. That's what you guys did to Garcia.
Yeah.
You guys went and got Garcia, got him kicked out of the game. That kick out caused a whole bunch of things to happen where there was stalling and Ryan Pressly came in and he shut us down and they hit the home run. And hey, and so we got you back. But Houston might go, hey, we don't, fine. It's, but we're not letting you guys get the last call on this one. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, Chaz, don't forget, Chaz McCormick did post it, right?
Yeah. Like a week or
that
so later.
That thing was nasty looking, too. His wife was all upset about it and everything.
So it's not so much for us, but I do think we love it. As much as we're like, oh, clean up the game, this and that. Let's face it. A major part of entertaining of baseball is when both teams hate each other and when guys start getting hit by pitches and then benches start clearing.
Yeah.
Because if the Rangers get hit, I'm just throwing this out here. What if it is Adolis Garcia again in the ribs? Aren't we going to be like, all right, where's Altuve? Where's Yordan Alvarez? Where's Alex Bregman? Aren't we going to be like, all right, let's get them back? And that's entertaining.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that guys aren't going to get suspended or fined, but it's entertaining to us.
Okay, let me ask you this then, because that part of it, because nobody's going out to right field to punch somebody. Like that's just, you don't see that happen.
It's a long run.
Yeah. It is a long run. It's exhausting by the time you get there. But like it all happens plate and mound. Like that's where everything takes place. How do you choose the player? How do you choose which? Because they chose Adolis for a specific reason.
Right. Because of the hitting the home run.
He's the guy that'll show out. He'll do those things. But they also knew that he's the heartbeat of the club the pizzazz.
They also know that he is probably the one most emotionally unstable. That yes. If we do this, he will get out of his game plan.
Yes.
Right? And he will overswing and he will swing at balls. And for that, when you're talking about 0 for 4, we felt like, oh no, not only did they hit Adolis and get him kicked out of that game and they stole game 5 from us, but now Adolis is outside of himself and not being disciplined at the plate. Luckily, he hits the big home run to end game 6 for the most part, and then he takes that and has a great game 7. So they usually pick it based off of star status. Nothing against Ezekiel Duran or Josh Smith or let's just say Nate Lowe. Good players. They help their Texas Rangers. But they're going to pick either Semien, Seager, or Adolis most likely.
Okay, I was kind of curious on the young kids.
I don't know if they will or not.
Okay. Because that seems like an even more of an attack.
The opportunity has to present itself.
True.
Both teams know winning the game is more important than sending a message. Sending a message can be important, but usually you wait for the right opportunity. And where's the right opportunity? 2 outs, nobody on, 4th inning, and I don't feel comfortable facing Corey Seager. I don't really want to throw him a strike. It's a short porch in Houston. Let's just peg him and send the message and put him on first base. And now I'm facing, I think, most likely Wyatt Langford. I think Wyatt Langford's going to bat 3rd this year. I'd rather face Langford right now than I'd rather face Seager. So sometimes it's not like we specifically, sometimes there is a specific player you have to get. But when it's just repaying the other team for what you felt like was unnecessary, sometimes it's about, I just need the opportunity to present itself. There was nothing against Chaz McCormick. Chaz did nothing in that series to deserve getting 100 miles an hour from Chapman. The opportunity was there. 2 outs, nobody on. We're going to win this game. I need one more out. I don't want to start off the inning by hitting a guy because now that puts a guy on base. There is a penalty. People, there is a penalty for hitting somebody. They get to go to first base for free.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I guess
their potential.
I understand you want the penalty to be worse. I totally get that. I'm not arguing that. But there is a penalty. Sometimes people are like, there's no penalty for hitting a guy. Well, the reason that pitchers decide to hit players in certain situations is they feel like the penalty's not going to be that bad. And the penalty with 2 outs and nobody on is not that bad. The score is 7-2 in the 8th inning. We probably lost this game. We're probably not going to score 6 runs in the 9th inning. This is an opportunity to get somebody. So that's where sometimes it doesn't specifically have to be a guy. Sometimes it is. A guy slides too hard into second base or something like that. You're like, let's get him. But in this scenario, I don't think it has to be Garcia. I don't think it has to be Corey Seager, but it probably has to be one of the guys that was an impact player last year in the playoffs.
Man, again, Mike's dead on. Right there at the top of April, you get a very fun
series. I know the Chicago series is pretty much sold out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you look at that, then they go to Tampa, and then they come back home and take on Houston. If you want to go, it's going to be a blast. But you're going to have to pay secondary market prices.
Yeah, that's tough. By the way, Mike, Phillies Braves came in at second. Yankees Orioles at third. D-backs and Dodgers, based obviously off what happened last year. And then their number five was pick your poison in the National League Central. Just any of those teams, and you can just throw out that it's going to be fun rivalries.
I do think, obviously, there's the built-in one of San Francisco and L.A. and them just adding Blake Snell. San Francisco, that's an interesting division. L.A.'s, I think, way better than everybody, but Arizona's a good team. I think San Francisco, to me, I like San Francisco on paper to maybe sneak into the playoffs. Colorado's not good, so you don't have to worry about them. And San Diego's not bad. They're not – I mean, they did just trade for Dylan Cease. They believe that they have something there.
So two of Boach's former teams, we got to make sure that they don't win the World Series this year. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for the Expressway, everybody. It's the Lunch Rush, NFL overreaction or not, and Mike likes it. Next on the Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Man, this is awesome. I just got followed by my high school baseball Twitter account. So that's something new that I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
Brian Adams High School Baseball in Dallas, BAHS_baseball, followed me on Twitter. Quick follow back. I don't know if they know what I'm up to lately. Maybe they do. So
are they following that left-handed third baseman I played against in the 90s?
No, you even went back and said that there wasn't a left-handed third. Oh, it was a left-handed catcher, you always said.
There is a left-handed third baseman for Brian Adams. That's what I messed up. Remember I said I was wrong. It wasn't a catcher. It was a third baseman.
Congratulations to Sean Morales' 7 strikeouts against Pinkston. 11-1 win over Pinkston on March 13th. Congratulations on that. And then Spruce, they got Spruce Tuesday and Saturday. So I'm looking forward to some district series action happening right there. Now, Mike, I'm going to be all up to date on Brian Adams baseball this year. Good luck in your face. Here
Good
we go.
For you.
The overreactions for the 2024 NFL free agency deals and trades. We start things off, overreaction or not, the Bears misread the market on Justin Fields.
I heard G-Bag talking about this yesterday, and they said, yes, I guess that they should have traded him pretty quickly in the offseason. They were just saying that once everybody started making their moves, Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh and Cousins to Atlanta, you can keep going down the list, right, is that they were the last team to have a quarterback that they didn't want. And so every team is like, we filled up our quarterback situation. And if we didn't fill it up, we know how we're filling it up. We're filling it up with a first-round pick in the draft, so we don't care about Justin Fields. So, yeah, they probably played their hand into the worst hand possible.
Yeah, my big thought on this Justin Fields situation where it kind of lands now is, do you now have the infrastructure to bring in Caleb Williams and be best set up for him to succeed? Their biggest hope now is that Caleb Williams comes in, takes off running with the team, they look good, and then they're like, yeah, see, Justin Fields was the problem all along. Justin Fields' biggest hope is that he walks into the Steelers organization, where I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be starting that long, if he is the starter, but he walks into that organization, he wants to walk in and become the next Steelers quarterback, because he also knows that is a franchise that has had a long history of success and opportunities in the playoffs. And that's Justin Fields' best opportunity. Now, did everything sour so much while Fields was there with Chicago that it just was not going to work out? Or is Fields really not good enough? I agree with you, Mike, on the front of they waited a little too long, the way that they ran it and everything. But sometimes every offseason you're thinking to yourself, man, we can do this. This should be this valuable. And then the market kind of shifts on you out of nowhere, and you're like, crap, we didn't get quite what we were expecting out of that. Derrick Henry, overreaction or not, will put the Ravens over the top and into the Super Bowl.
Nope. But I do think it's a decent signing. But Lamar Jackson has to become better in the playoffs. I hate putting it on one person, but Lamar Jackson has to be better in the playoffs. And I don't know how Derrick Henry, it just seems tough to me to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry and say, as his career's coming to a close, and say, lead us to a championship. It has to be Lamar Jackson. He helps, but I don't think that Derrick Henry is, I think it's a good signing. If Derrick Henry would have signed here in Dallas, I think it would have been a solid signing. But I don't think Derrick Henry puts any team over the top, including Baltimore or Dallas.
I will say this. I don't know about over the top, but I think it gives you a better chance if you actually use Derrick Henry. The biggest problem, I thought, with Lamar Jackson playing against Kansas City in that game in Baltimore was that Lamar Jackson was trying to be Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson can make good throws. I think you can work the ball down the field. You can have a balanced attack offensively still in this NFL. Now, Mahomes, everybody wants to replicate what Patrick Mahomes does. You just can't. He's different. So when Andy Reid's drawing up plays, Andy Reid knows he has a different factor on the football field than every other coach that's calling plays. Hey, I can call this play and probably get away with it being risky because I have a quarterback that can catch me up whenever things go bad. With what happened in that playoff game last year, Lamar Jackson's out there trying to toss the ball around when they probably should, but would have been better off running the ball. So I will say I do think this gives them another edge, but beating Mahomes is tough, man. It's absolutely going to be tough. I don't want to face that team. I don't want to face Baltimore, really, honestly. That's a tough team to face in the regular season and in the playoffs as well.
Who's a tougher opponent, the Baltimore Ravens or the Baltimore Orioles?
Baltimore's got to be really happy with where they are right now, right? With their two
besides the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, they don't have. Does that really count? Is that close?
It's in D.C.
Is it close enough?
45 minutes okay. To an hour drive,
that's
approximately.
Too that's too far.
In Dallas, Fort Worth. It's not. It's a little bit further away. Okay. Baltimore and D.C. are further away than Dallas and Fort Worth. But it's if Baltimore has a basketball team, it's going to be D.C.
I'll say for the sake of that discussion, Mike, the Orioles. You know what? We whipped the Orioles' ass in the playoffs, so I'm fine with that right now. It's not like they got any better with their pitching or anything, right?
They did.
They did?
They got Corbin Burns. Oh. I ended up keeping Grayson Rodriguez over Garrett Cole in my fantasy league just because I think he's about to blow up in a good way, And Gerrit Cole scares me to death at 33 years old with an elbow injury.
So you think Derrick Henry is an overreaction, putting them over the top? I do,
too. I think he's a good signing.
Yeah, I do, too.
I just think that over the top would mean, do I think they're better than Kansas City? And they went to Baltimore and beat them.
Yeah.
So it's tough to say, oh, yeah, now if they would have had Derrick Henry, that would have been a much different game. Maybe it would have, but I don't think so.
Overreaction or not? Kirk Cousins signing makes the Falcons a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Not at all. I mean, I was too strong in my wording when they signed him and said he's a loser. That was wrong by me. He can get you to the playoffs and he can win that division. And then the story ends. Then the story's over. And there's quarterbacks that fit into that tier. And 90% of organizations are praying and hoping to get that tier of a quarterback. I can't believe it.
That is true.
Because it's so tough. You only have, like, there's only a few that you really feel like can take a team and lead you to a championship. And you're just like, because we are struggling to find one of those five guys, we will settle into Kirk Cousins. And I wouldn't run an organization that way, but guess what? I'm sitting here not making as much money as owners do in the NFL.
So. I will say, Mike, when you said, you said he was a loser.
That's too strong of a word.
76 and 67 and 2.
Yeah, and that's...
So that is technically a winner, but can't very win. Close.
We know he can't win a Super Bowl, and he can't... I get he's been to an NFC Championship game, but he can't. He just can't do it.
I do think there is a certain amount of confidence, cockiness, bravado, whatever it is that a quarterback kind of has to have, and that confidence can be quiet. I think he lacks that. I still think he lacks that kind of confidence that it takes. That is like, you're a stone-blooded killer, man. Like you're stone-cold killer. You're one of those guys. Stone-blooded, stone just pouring out of your blood. I think that he does lack that. Do I think Baker Mayfield has that? Yes. I also think Baker Mayfield doesn't quite have all the other things that Kirk Cousins has. So it's kind of a weird mixture there, but I'm very interested to see Kirk Cousins with Drake London, Bijan, Kyle Pitts, and see what they can do. But I'm with you. They're going to need a stellar defense, and Cousins just, he has to transform into something that he's just not.
The only thing is in the NFC, they don't have quarterbacks that scare you. Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff. You know, you just name, I'm naming the top teams last year. Jordan Love obviously put himself on this level now.
He's on the map, man.
But it's like, no, there's not Patrick Mahomes. There's not Joe Burrow. There's not a team that seems to win 12 or more games every year when healthy in Lamar Jackson. There's not. Obviously, I think Buffalo is going to struggle this upcoming season because they went for it. They actually did go all in. This is where Jerry Jones could say, look, this is why I would never go all in, because there's no guarantee. And look where the Buffalo Bills are now. Valid. They're $60 million over the cap, and they're having to release good players. And probably for the next 2 years, it's going to be very difficult for Buffalo to be a contender. But Buffalo's going to say, all right, we're going to reset after a year or two, and then we're going to go all in again and see if we can win with Josh Allen.
Yeah. From the 254, it's so nice not having Kevin yell at y'all all the time. We haven't given ourselves a reason to be yelled at today either. I do want to point that out. Like, yeah. Everything's been very – this is a program director's dream right now. What we do on our show, typically, program directors have no clue what to think about that, all right? They're like, I guess I just let it happen because the fans enjoy it, the Tolos like it. But they're like, you guys – but then, you know, whenever Kevin's out, Mike and I have to clean things up and act serious.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It isn't. It's not my day. All right, the running back, overreaction or not, the running back market is back.
No. No, not at all. There's not going to be one drafted in the first round. There's maybe not going to be one drafted in the second round. I'm sure there will be one, maybe two, but no, the running back, it's done. They created the rules that the running back is not as valuable of a player anymore because of the rules of passing the ball. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean they're not valuable, but they're never going to be paid a tremendous amount of money. There weren't long-term contracts here with big signing bonuses.
Josh Jacobs goes to Green Bay. He gets $12.5 million guaranteed. That's a nice number.
Yeah, now compare it to wide receivers and tight ends.
Pollard got $10.5 million guaranteed. Barkley managed $26 million guaranteed. And in they're saying it's 1996 all over again, but you're right, Mike. Their number isn't vaulting the same way. Yeah. And even to that point, receivers are at the point of, are they as important as quarterbacks now?
Yeah. What does Zach Martin make? Is it $1 million a game?
Ooh, I'll have to revisit.
It's close, isn't it? I mean, I'm just looking at guard, I think gets paid more than running back.
6 years, $84 million. So his base salary was $1 million last year. Cap hit 12. So about 12, yeah.
Okay.
About 12.5.
Yeah. So they're about as valuable as Team C guards as
wow.
value.
Tackles
get paid way more.
You know, how often have you heard the Cowboys, too, when talking about Tony Pollard, Alec, whenever they're talking about him, about the blocking? And you hear Jerry Jones talk so much about your ability to block as a running back. We don't need a tight end to block if we have a running back that can do that. Or maybe my offensive line doesn't have to be so special if I have a running back that can be that last line of protection.
Makes me hope that Rico Dowdle is really good. It makes me hope that he's refined some things this offseason. That's what it makes me think.
And that's where I feel like the Cowboys were kind of always pushing towards this of, I don't want to pay a running back. I don't want to be held captive by Ezekiel Elliott again. So let's just make them in the league without being without collusion. Let's make this, they're not as important to the game.
I will bet $20, not a lot of money, that the Cowboys in the second or third round, more likely third round, draft a running back.
Okay.
I do not think they're going with Rico Dowdle as their number one running back. I'm not saying he's not bad. I'm just saying that he's a good backup running back. They are not going with that. Let me ask you this, Cowboy fans. How many people want to buy Rico Dowdle jerseys in the offseason? If they draft the dude from Florida State, is that the kid who's considered the best running back?
I think so, yeah.
They draft the kid from Florida State. Sorry, I'm forgetting his name. I guarantee you Jerry's going to pump those at Dallas Cowboys pro shops and Dick's Sporting Goods and stuff, and we'll buy that guy. We're not buying Rico Dowdle jerseys.
You're saying Trey Benson?
Yeah.
Out of Florida State? Blake Corum. I understand what you're saying there.
And I'm not saying, and they're better.
That's interesting.
They are. I think they will be better than Rico Dowdle, but I do think marketing is a big play for the Cowboys organization. And Rico Dowdle does nothing for this organization.
So you just say
marketing.
Re-sign Zeke, and not even the old jersey, just throw a new number on Zeke, is what you're saying.
Oh, he does wear a new number,
just
doesn't
get him
he?
Just put the new number on him. Now you got a whole new jersey set of sales. Everybody's going to buy them.
Can you imagine if we got, I'm not going to put, after you just said that, is he a free agent?
Yeah.
I'm not going to put it past that they sign him to like a vet minimum contract.
The conversation keeps poking its way back in. It definitely does. Somebody pointed out, though, the running backs are a necessity. And then they said, but the final four teams last year were run heavy teams. I mean, the Niners.
Yeah, they have value.
They ran a
but
lot.
Teams aren't going to pay them. I mean, I guess I didn't get to this. I'll get to it in Mike Likes It. About Blake Snell, just remind me, I forget a lot.
Okay.
About Blake Snell and getting only 2 years as a Cy Young.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Winner. Gotcha. All right. Speaking of Cy Young guys, Bochy did say that he told Nate Eovaldi in December that he would be the opening day starter on the for this year. So he kind of knew already. You're going to be my guy when it comes around to it. Go ahead and prepare for something like that. Also, on NFL overreaction or not, the Texans are a real threat to the Chiefs in the AFC. Do you now?
Yeah, I'll say a real threat, but I think there's, if Cincinnati's Joe Burrow is healthy, I think Baltimore's a real threat again. Miami, maybe. So I do think there's real threats to Kansas City, but if you want to say the Texans are going to have a better record in the regular season than Kansas City. I wouldn't put my money on that if it's even money.
Yeah. I like what they did last year. I wonder, this goes back to what we discuss all the time with Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford. Is there a book yet on the Texans? Or were they just like, they don't have the talent? And did we get a book on C.J. Stroud? Did we get a book on Slowick, their offensive coordinator? Do we know what he's doing? And did we get a book on what they were doing defensively? If they can replicate it again this year, they're a serious threat just trying to add more talent as you go along. That's the way I see it. I will also add those new jerseys that they put out there yesterday on Twitter. There were some leaked jerseys. Those are garbage. Sorry, Houston, that's just another loss in your book right there. My buddy's a big Texans fan. He was really excited. Mike, if you see it, there's no character. There's nothing to it. It's like, hey, we threw a white shirt out there and we took the Atlanta Falcons numbers. That's basically what it looks like. It just was bad. By the way, Mike, the baseball coach at Bryan Adams just messaged me. And this might be something for the C block in the future because I think I'm going to take him up on this. He is a huge Tolo. So the baseball coach at Bryan Adams is a big Tolo. And he asked something of me. And I think I'm going to take him up on this one, man. I really do.
You have a year of eligibility left?
I'm going to go back to high school and play one more year. That's the plan. Now, I'll bring this up here in just a little bit. Last one.
Oh, it does. It looks exactly like the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, those numbers are miserable. Don't do that.
They're really dark navy. Maybe they're just navy. But in the picture, it looks like they went a little bit more
almost
like
black.
Yankee navy?
Yeah. That's a good description of that color.
Over like cowboy navy, because the Cowboys wear navy blue,
but it's blue.
Yeah, when you look at the Yankees, you'd swear they're black and white
all
but
the time.
That's just considered, like, I don't know if they consider it Yankee navy, but it's a very dark navy.
Yeah, that I do wonder what that color is considered. And then the last one, the Broncos will have the number one overall draft pick in 2025.
The Broncos,
and they say that's not an overreaction. And I
think they're taking the kid out of Michigan. I just, every time I look at a mock draft and stuff, I think they're going to way overdraft Kevin McCarthy, who was the voice of
J.J. McCarthy
of the Dallas Mavericks for a long time.
Well, J.J. McCarthy, he just had a big meeting with the Giants. He went to dinner with the front office. So the Giants are all in at getting him at number six. The Broncos have the number one overall pick.
This feels like
next
Mac
year.
Jones all over again. Does McCarthy not feel like Mac Jones? Like, he took a team that was very talented and put up an unbelievable record, and then all of a sudden Mac Jones was going to go third overall or second overall, and I'm like, I watch Mac Jones. I think he's solid as like a third round pick and maybe, but he's a backup quarterback who maybe you get lucky and he's better than that. I've seen this story before. His name was Mac Jones.
Yeah. No, I totally get you there. I didn't see enough from him to make me go, he's the next this. But the scouts, they buy in on this guy completely. All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget to come see us out at RJ Duke's on Friday. Looking forward to hanging out with everybody, cracking some packs while we're out there. Kevin will be there as well. Kevin is out today on a bender or something like that. But right now, it's time to go into Mike's world where Mike likes it happens.
I have multiple things here. I want to start off with Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell signs a 2-year deal. This is only a theory, and I'm wondering about this. I had this discussion, and I know most people hate him here, but he's a good friend of mine, is A.J. Hinch. We played together in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, for the home of Dunder Mifflin. We were in AAA together for the Phillies in 2005, and we'd have fun discussions. He knew how much I love baseball and what I knew about it. I just wasn't playing it, but I loved it, and I knew that he wanted to be actually a general manager. At that point, he wanted to be a general manager after baseball was over. Manager of the Detroit Tigers now. Most people know him here as the cheating manager of the Houston Astros. So we were saying we would never, if we were running an organization together, and it was interesting at one point when he was with Arizona as the farm director and my career came to an end, AJ wanted me to get into baseball and be a scout or a coach in their organization. And I just didn't feel like, I thought about it, but I just didn't feel like going down that route. And so anyways, We had a theory when we were on the bus and going into International League territory and spending a lot of time on a bus is we would never give a pitcher, never, over a four-year contract.
Interesting.
We felt like, this is 2005, we felt like, even me being a pitcher at the time, it's too dangerous to give over four-year contracts to pitchers because of the injury rate that we were seeing in 2000 through 2005. We're just like, man, if I was running an organization, my money would go more to position players and try to develop pitchers and pay them their league minimum, pay them their arbitration numbers, use them for the 6 years that they are somewhere between age 20 and 30 in that time frame that they can. And then we'd be very careful on giving big contracts to pitchers, and we would never want to go over 4 years. So if there is a major injury, that if they had Tommy John surgery, that we wouldn't be stuck with that contract for a long amount of time without them performing at all. And position players rarely, it happens, but rarely miss a season and a half because of an injury. So Blake Snell gets 2 years, $62 million from the San Francisco Giants. I am wondering, is this starting to go around? Is this now in Major League Baseball going to be the norm that pitchers will not get, I'm not saying more than a two-year contract, but will pitchers struggle when Spencer Strider, who's the best pitcher in the National League, striking out a zillion people in a year, will teams look at it and go, dude, we want you, Strider, but we're just not going to go over 4 years because you're probably going to blow out.
Yeah.
You're probably in these 4 years going to blow out, and we hope that you don't. But if you do in year four, we don't have two or three more years left on you, not knowing exactly how you're going to come back. Obviously, the Rangers are dealing with this with Jacob DeGrom right now. Nothing against Jacob DeGrom, but I'm wondering if the Jacob DeGrom thing scared teams away this offseason from Blake Snell. Are scared about Jordan Montgomery's request for a long-term contract. And 30 teams are saying no. All 30 teams to Jordan Montgomery saying, we're not doing, as far as we know today, we are not doing a long-term contract. And I'm wondering if me and Hinchy and our contract, our conversation in 2005 on buses in the International League are starting to come to fruition with all of the owners and general managers in baseball and going, why should we ever give more than 4 years to a starting pitcher when we know that there's a 50% chance they're going to blow out on us during this contract?
Yeah, no, I'm very interested in this because it feels like agents have a lot of ability to spin something that happened in having these negotiation conversations with owners and GMs, Mike, because this might be a new thing where they were like, look, hey, that fifth year, yeah, you can have him. Maybe he is going to blow out 1 year, but you'll have him for 4 years, you know, yeah. Or 7 years. Maybe he is going to be injured for a little bit, but you're going to have him for this period of time. I do wonder if this is a new trend that could start something.
And this is where Hinchy and I were talking about, you really want to have great scouts who know pitching well in high school and college, and also obviously in Latin America. Because if we're going to go through this philosophy and we're not going to spend a lot of money in pitching, we really have to have a good scout's eye, not just us, but our scouts really do a good job of seeing pitchers in amateur baseball, college and high school, and then over in Latin America at 15, 16, 17 years old, and that we can develop them, that we have the right pitching coordinator, the right pitching coaches, that we will overpay for our coaches in the minor leagues, and we will overpay for our pitching coordinator to make sure that we're developing pitchers that we have at league minimum through arbitration for the most part, because if we're going to be very restricted on our, because we figured this, we're probably going to lose. When we offer a four-year contract, all it takes is one other team to say five or six or seven, and yep. If we have a hard stance, we're not going over four, we know we're going to lose these battles most of the time. Now, like John Gray's on a four-year, $60 million contract. This is year three of that contract. Like, that'll probably be more of the guy that we get in this philosophy of we're going maximum four-year contracts and we'll never go over that number of years. And so it's going to be interesting in the next week or two. I'm assuming Scott Boras is going to get Jordan Montgomery signed. But if he signs for a short-term contract, I do think there could be a major shift. We just talked about running backs. Not that pitchers aren't going to get $30 or $40 million a year.
They'll get their money.
But it might be on short-term contracts.
The pitchers got to – you kind of got to like that, though, with more opportunities to get – because after 4 years, the money goes up. You got it.
Yeah, but if you blow out in year three four, now you're sitting there on – this is why you want to be protected on a long-term contract, especially as a pitcher, is there's a 50% chance, and maybe that's too high, that I'm going to blow out. I am going to blow out my arm, and I'm going to need 12 to 15 months of rehab to get my arm back into a position to compete at the highest level in the world. And if that injury happens at the end of my short-term contract,
then I'm screwed for that.
And I'm screwed if it happens at the beginning of my short-term contract. Yeah. You know, like for Blake Snell, if he blows out tomorrow, I'm not saying that's good, but he would have time to pitch in 2025. If he blows out at the beginning of 2025 or the mid part of 2025, what is a team going to do going, well, are you even going to pitch in 2026? Why don't I just wait until you're done rehabbing, pay you $0 in 2026, and then pay you a really short-term one-year deal? So I understand why pitchers don't want it, and I hate it because I'm a former pitcher, but I would not I'm wondering if this trend's going to happen and if more people are going, why would we sign long-term contracts with pitchers?
I do wonder, too, like, why would you sign, like, would this be a thing to go with position players? Or is it better to do these long-term
things? I think position players stay healthy.
Because they stay healthy, you keep them around a lot longer.
Yeah, there's not as much risk.
Team. Yeah. I mean, what did we see, 10, 12-year deals that have been rocking out now? Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, whereas obviously pitchers, Bobby Witt Jr., you have Corey Seager, like getting the whole decade deal, right? They get a decade deal.
Yeah, they might have found Tatis. Yeah, all these.
Okay, so my last, I know this is Mike likes it. New Balance finally did it. I can't believe it's taken them this long, but it was either last night or today they came out with their Ohtani logo.
They got Ohtani
a year ago. I just can't believe that finally New Balance has come together with Ohtani. It's kind of like him rounding third base. The best way I can describe, it's him running, and it's like him making the turn to go home, if that makes sense. He's kind of leaning into that turn. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. He's coming around the corner.
If you think of Griffey, his logo that Nike uses, it's with his bat down on his finish, like the finish of his swing. That's Griffey's logo that Nike still uses to this day. Ohtani is running. But if you go to New Balance's website and you type in Ohtani, they have zero products for Shohei Ohtani. It's all Lindor.
Yeah, they did show his cleat in that promo.
Yeah.
And it looked like, I mean, it looked like a New Balance tennis shoe. And it didn't show the spikes, but it just looked like a regular New Balance tennis shoe, which they do a good job of. And I do wonder if they get something that's a little more catered to that.
Yeah.
And they're just really trying to figure out how to make that work.
I don't think New Balance will ever come close to Nike, but I think they might be the number two in shoes right now. I think you see a lot of kids wearing New Balances now. It used to be when I was a kid and my dad was like, hey, let's go get New Balance. They're really good and comfortable. I'm like, yeah, they're
an old man's walking shoe.
They're a grandpa shoe. I'm not wearing New Balance. But I think that New Balance, I just see them more and more that teenagers are wearing them. People in their 20s are wearing them. And I'm just wondering if Ohtani, not that they're going to come close to Nike, but I'm just wondering with Ohtani, they finally, after having him under a contract for over a year, are now going to start putting out Ohtani products. Does that help at all? New Balance even go up a few more percentage points?
Maybe so. But I would love, we discussed this at length,
Tyrese Maxey, who we had on, he's a New Balance guy. You know?
Discuss at length how, like, why is Trout not endorsed enough? Why isn't he promoted enough?
Right.
That would help with their sport. When it comes to Griffey, Mike, you always said it. The Griffey shoe, you weren't wearing in school. You were wearing at practice.
Right.
And that's fine, but it's not. You're not in class with your feet propped up on the desk, and now everybody's like, hey, are those the new Griffeys? I do wonder if New Balance can find a thing where you're like, this shoe looks just like the shoe he's wearing. It just has spikes Yeah. Whenever and you can wear these two. And if that could change for them in that in that way, that would be awesome.
So New Balance. It took you a while, but you finally, it looks like you're coming around to giving Otani a lot of money and actually using his name and likeness on your stuff.
Oh my gosh. Alec just sent this over to me. We have so much to get into in the C block. And it starts with what my high school baseball team asked of me. And then this thing that Alec just sent me next on the fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.